Everyone, I gotta work on my timing getting down here so we have less lag in between. Stephen, thank you so much for reading the scripture. I did cut my hair, as Stanley pointed out, not to look like Stanley, although there's nothing wrong with that. I was more inspired, I guess, by Carrie and Cameron last week. They came in there, both of them, their hair was super short, and I said, I think I want to do that, you know, so I want to be like the elders. And so I cut mine, not as short as you guys, but a little bit. So, Jim, when are you going to join the party, man? And you got that mop top. You need to, you know, look like the rest of us. We are continuing in our series this morning, looking at the life of Jesus Christ. I believe we're in part 4, if I'm not mistaken. I should know that. And we're looking at the teachings of Jesus. Now, it's going to be a little different today because I actually did a PowerPoint, finally. I said I was going to do it. It took me a while. If anything goes wrong with this PowerPoint, I'm taking full responsibility for it. Do not put it on Doug, okay? I had to try to get it to him multiple times. And I also have a clicker here, so we're going to see how this works. All right, so we're going to go with this. But we are looking at the teaching of Jesus. See, already that's... I skipped my first one. Okay, anyway, we're looking at the teachings of Jesus Christ. And how can you talk about the teachings of Jesus? There's so many of them. How can you put it all into one sermon? You can't. And that would be ridiculous to even try to do it. So what we're going to really do today is have an overview of what, why he taught. What was he trying to do? What was he trying to accomplish? And hopefully... encourage us, if we're not already doing it, to go back and look at the teachings of Jesus, all right? And so that's what we're going to be doing this morning. That's what we hope to accomplish. We noticed that, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, when he comes back from that, the Bible says immediately he starts teaching. He goes right into it. And here in Luke chapter 4, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Jesus was going from town to town, going into the synagogues. He was full of the Holy Spirit. We read about it in Luke chapter 4 when he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah and reads from there. And so that's what Jesus is doing in the beginning of his ministry, is that he is going around teaching. We don't have a whole lot with the miracles at first. It doesn't take very long before they start to get in there. But he's teaching, and he's going around and he's proclaiming. He's preaching. And what is that exactly is he preaching? What he talks about most, more than anything in the beginning, is the kingdom of God. That's what he's telling people. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand, is what Jesus says. And of course, we have here is multiple cases, but pulled one here from Mark chapter 1. After John was put in prison... And that's a timing for everyone then. We may say, well, when was John put into prison? And that's something to think about. Right when Jesus was baptized, he goes into the wilderness, returns full of the Holy Spirit. Sometime in there, it looks as if John was put in prison. And so Jesus, knowing this, knowing that his cousin was put into prison, an amazing, righteous man, he's still going out and spreading the message. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And that's what the message Jesus starts out saying. Repent, believe the kingdom of God. And of course, they are thinking, as you probably already know, they're thinking that it's now's the time for us. We're going to rally the troops. We're going to throw off the Roman oppressors. We're going to reestablish ourselves and in our land and our place here at this time. That would have been their mindset. Of course, we know how Jesus saw the kingdom and what he was going to teach about the kingdom was going to be different than what they were going to be expecting. But that is in the beginning what Jesus is teaching and talking about, the kingdom of God. It's also, we'll get back to this in a minute, but it's also interesting that as he's teaching, as we go on and read a little bit further down in Mark, that Jesus teaches as one who has authority. In Mark chapter 1, 22 and 22, 21 and 22, it says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into their synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching. You can imagine how many lessons these people would have heard. You know, every Sabbath and probably even in the home and out in the marketplaces, they would have been hearing lessons and teachings from the law and the histories. And here comes Jesus, and he teaches, and they are amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. And I love that, one who has authority. When you encounter someone that really knows their stuff, and they know what they're talking about, and they're excited about what they're talking about, you can sit and listen to that person all day long. No matter what the subject is, usually, you can just be amazed with it. I don't know about you. I enjoy going to museums. I like the art museums probably a little more than the history museums. History museum, you know, Jim, you're a history museum guy? I mean, how many times can you look at dinosaur bones? And I mean, they're cool, but half of them are fake anyway, right? They're not even real bones. And but a lot of times when I go to the museum, I like to see the paint. I like to see what people create. You ever go to the part of the museum where it's like historical stuff, like pots and urns? And I always just walk right past that stuff. Like, well, that's a pot. Who cares about this, you know? And it's from 500, you know, years ago, ancient China or something. I went one time with someone who knew their stuff. They knew all about art history, and I got to walk halls that I would normally just run right past to get something I thought was more interesting. I got to pass through there with someone who knew what they were talking about, and as he explained each piece and everything about it and the history, I was blown away. It opened up a whole new world for me. It was amazing, because when someone knows what they're talking about and they have passion about it, we can listen to that all day long, right? Usually what we encounter if we turn on the television is people who don't know what they're talking about, and you know, turn that right off. Jesus knows what he knew and knows what he's talking about, and I'm sure he was extremely passionate about it, and it was contagious, right? These people love to listen to Jesus. That's why, like in the scripture that Stephen just read, he had to get out into a boat. The people were crowding around him so much so that he was running out of space. So he just got into the boat to get a little bit offshore because people wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Little lesson in that for us. Do we know what we're talking about when we proclaim the gospel? And are we passionate about it? Do we come with some authority when we're talking about Jesus Christ? I hope we do, and if not, we can work on that. That can change. We can come with some authority. He did not teach like the teachers of the law. He did not teach like they were used to. All right? He came with authority, and they loved to hear what he had to say. So Jesus starts performing miracles very early on in his ministry, and we're going to look at miracles next week. We're not going to focus on that, but in one case, he goes to the home of Peter. Peter's mother-in-law is not feeling well. Jesus heals her. And that night, people are bringing all their sick and their demon-possessed to Jesus. And he spends that entire night healing people, okay? And so in the next morning, we pick up in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus got up in the morning very early while it was still dark. Everyone, I'm assuming, still asleep maybe. He goes off to a solitary place so that he can pray. Well, all the other disciples that are around him, they wake up. They start looking for Jesus. Here's what happened. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." I think they're excited, right? Like they get to, this is their disciple. This is their rabbi. They're following, and everyone wants to hear, and they got the inside track with them, right? They're excited about that. And now he's off. Everyone come back. "Hey, where's the guy that's healing? You know, I'm sick over here." And they're like, "Man, let's go find Jesus." Like, "Jesus, come on. Everyone's looking for you." I'm sure that was exciting for them, right? Jesus' response is probably not what they were expecting. Jesus replied, "Let us go someplace else. Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." He didn't necessarily come to heal. He came to preach. And he came to proclaim the kingdom of God. If you were someone who could not walk and you were on your way to see Jesus, I'm sure to you the most important thing would be having him heal you so you could walk again. Right? And it's easy for me to say this because I'm able to walk. But that's not the most important thing that you would need. The words that Jesus would speak to you would be more important. The teachings of Jesus Christ are more important than, you know, how we feel or our own health. And that's kind of can seem like a cold thing to say. Well, that's easy for you to say if you're well, but if you're not well or if you have a child that's not well. Jesus left sick people Because the message needed to be proclaimed in other towns and villages. Think about that for a second. He healed many people. The thing about it is those people, I'm sure, got sick again. And those people, I don't think any of them that we read about are still alive today. I'm pretty sure they all eventually died. All right? Jesus came to teach and to preach, and ultimately we know to die on the cross so that all sickness and all sin and all death could be dealt with once and for all. But at this point in time, his words were more important than him healing. We sometimes come to Jesus because we want to get out of a hole. We want a change in our life, and we're looking for some kind of a miracle, when maybe what we really need to be doing is listening to what Jesus is saying, because that might be what we really need. I came here to preach. That is why I came, Jesus says. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So he preached about the kingdom of God, and he preached on how to live in the kingdom of God. So he started to speak to the people that were around him and that would listen. He would speak to them in parables. And you're familiar with parables, right? They're stories. I've heard it described. They're earthly stories with a biblical or a spiritual meaning. But he spoke to the people in parables. Some of the parables, we read them, and they're pretty clear. Like, yeah, that makes sense. Some of them we got to think about a little bit more. Some of the parables, even the disciples that were near him didn't understand what he was talking about. And they asked him about it. Why are you speaking to the people in parables? And he quotes from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, he says that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving. They may be ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. If you want to hear what Jesus has to say, you're going to listen, you're going to seek, and you're going to find out. If you don't want to hear what Jesus has to say, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. But Jesus taught the people in parables, and I want to look at, we're not going to look at all the parables, but there are a lot, but what I want to look at is how he began quite a few of the parables. I don't know, how big is that? Can y'all read that? All right, I don't know, again, making these slides, so I need to adjust the fonts, I'm learning here too. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. That'll get your attention. You got to go read that. And these are all from, you can all go find all of these in one chapter, Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into some dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. Jesus was teaching on the kingdom of heaven often in those parables. And like I said, we're not getting into all of his teachings. I want you to go into to read Matthew chapter 3 and look at these parables. Listen and perceive. See what he's saying and understand it, right? And what is he talking about with the kingdom of heaven? Because this is a kingdom that we are a part of, that we as Christians, this is the kingdom that we are in. And Jesus went around because it was important, and he thought it was very important, so we should think it's very important, that those in the other villages heard what he had to say about this kingdom that they were coming into, and that they would also, as we will also, inherit. And then he goes on, and he doesn't just talk about the kingdom, he talks about how to live in the kingdom. And you can read about these in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He begins a lot of his statements like this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry with the brother or sister will be subject to judgment. So maybe we could say he's adding on. But really, maybe he's reinterpreting. Maybe he's showing them and telling them what the Old Testament message, what the law was really about when he's teaching them the Sermon on the Mount. It's not just about not murdering. You can't hate your brother either. This is what it is to live in the kingdom. You can no longer say, well, I've never murdered anyone. I'm doing okay. No, you have to take it further. The kingdom of God is different. It is more so. You have to love one another. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You want to be in this kingdom? You want to be in my kingdom? It has to be a kingdom of the heart. It has to overtake everything. Not just your actions in the outside, but inside. What is going on in your mind? What is going on in your heart? That's where the rule of this kingdom needs to be. It's been said anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, don't break your oath. But I tell you, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. You need to be a person who honors their word. You've heard that it was said eye for eye and tooth for a tooth. This one might be the hardest right here, at least for some of us. But I told you, or I tell you, don't, don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. It's not just about, before it was eye for eye, even, right? You do this to me, I do this for you. No. Now you get slapped on the one cheek, you turn to the other. I've encountered the most opposition when I bring the scripture up to someone. We've been taught, and even, in church, we can think this, turn the other cheek. I mean, what if Jesus lived in this time, right? I tell you, if they cut you off in traffic, you do not get to go speed up or cut them off in traffic. We don't get to repay in kind. That's not how it works in this kingdom. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, pray for those who persecute you. That's what it's like to live in the kingdom of God. And so he's teaching about the kingdom and how to live in the kingdom. And there's so many other things that Jesus teaches, right? He talks about divorce, and he talks about giving, and he talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting and money and worrying and all sorts of things Jesus talks about in his teachings of what it means to be a follower of his, what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And then someone asked him in the book of Mark chapter 12, well, what's the greatest commandment? I mean, there's like 613 of these things in the Old Testament. What's the greatest commandment? So one of the teachers comes up and he hears them debating. He notices that Jesus gives good answers. And he asks them, of all the commandments, what's the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's so interesting. So many times Jesus gives an answer where they ask him a question, so he asks them a question back. Or he kind of maybe answers in a parable. But this one, man, Jesus, he just comes right at it. I love it. When I think, they ask Jesus, what's the most important? That he's going to come with some other thing that you really got to think about. No, not on this one. What's the most important? I'll tell you what the most important one is. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is the most important commandment, Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with everything you got. The guy doesn't even ask about the second one, but Jesus goes ahead and gives him the second one. I'll give you number two also. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. If you read it in Matthew's account, in Matthew 22, Jesus follows that and he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. All of the law in the Old Testament, all the teachings of the prophets, they fall under either love the Lord your God or love your neighbor as yourself. If you're ever doing anything and you wonder, is this right or not? Is it falling under loving your God or loving your neighbor? And if it's not, then you're probably in the wrong. All right? And so Jesus teaches this. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. Take that one and burn it into your hearts. We're getting close to the end here. I want us to look at something. Because Jesus also taught, not just with his words, but with his example. And we could look at many, many examples in the Bible of, Jesus going above and beyond of, whether it be him staying up all night healing people or maybe a request of someone and he honors it. When he's walking on water, he's teaching a lesson about faith. I mean, he's just teaching lessons all throughout with his actions, not just with his words. But one of the greatest lessons that he teaches with an example is what we read about in John chapter 13. And, of course, this is when he washes his disciples' feet. He washes the disciples' feet. Jesus is about to do the most difficult thing in his entire, what he's come to do, to die on the cross, right? That's the very next day. He's about to be put on the cross. And that night, he's going to lower himself, humble himself. God in the flesh, the person that has all the answers, that's going above and beyond, he's going to get down on his knees and he's going to wash the dirty, stinky feet of his disciples. He says, after he finishes washing their feet, he puts on the clothes back on him, his outer clothes, and he returns to the place he was sitting. He says, do you not understand what I've done for you? Do you understand what I've done for you? And that's, you know, sometimes Jesus asks questions that we seem, but think about it. You know, when he asks a question and the answer seems easy, think more about it. He really wants his apostles to understand this because they're going to have to get this concept if they're going to be able to do what he's going to ask them to do. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that is exactly who I am. I am your teacher and I'm your Lord. I am above you in all areas, in all ways. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. They're going to be called to go out, and people are going to want to hear their teachings, and they're going to be given amazing power to heal and perform miracles and go throughout the known land at that time, right? And there's people who are going to come to them from all over and want to hear their words and sit at their feet, and they can't let that go to their head. They always have to remember who they are and whose they are, and that they should always be willing to get down on their knees and wash the feet of those who, you know, in worldly terms would be considered lower than them, right? That's Jesus showing them by his example. He's teaching them. And of course, everything that Jesus teaches them, I think, can apply to us, and we should take note, because we have to learn these things. If you're not reading the words of Jesus Christ, you got to start doing that. Maybe you don't understand. Then you have to ask and you have to pray. We have to figure this out. We have to know how Jesus wants us to live. Because we're not called just to be saved, but we're called to be a part of saving others. And we have to be able to go out. In order to go out and to teach and to preach and to do amazing things, we have to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have to go out on our knees with the attitude and the mindset of a servant like Jesus Christ. Here's in John chapter 14, we're still in chapter 13. Jesus is still talking to his disciples, and he gives them a new command. A new command. This is not a reinterpretation of an old one or finding the true spirit of something that's in the law. This is a new command, and it doesn't sound like it at first. He says, a new command I give you. This is, of course, after he washed his disciples' feet. Love one another. And if you left it right there, you might think, that's not a new command at all. I mean, Jesus, you already said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wouldn't that fall under loving your neighbor as yourself? A new command I give you, love one another. But he takes it a little further than that. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. There's your new command. As I have loved you. How much does Jesus love you? These guys are about to learn how much. At that moment, they're probably thinking, man, he loves us enough to wash our feet. That's just the beginning. How much does Jesus love them? They're about to find out the next day when he goes to the cross for them. Right? That's how much Jesus loves them. And so when they recall that new command, it's not just about washing each other's feet. It's about being willing to lay down your life for the person next to you. That's how much you and I should love each other, that we are willing to die for one another. That's the new command. Now, I don't have to love you as much as I love myself anymore. That's love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, love your neighbor as much as I love you. Jesus loves me more than I love myself. Right? I need to love you as much as Jesus loves me. So that means I need to start to learn and understand how much Jesus loves me. The cross should always be on my mind, should always be on my heart. And if I constantly remember what Jesus has done for me, then I should be able to also remember how I should live for you, and vice versa. And he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You guys are about to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel and do amazing things. You got to love one another. You're not always going to get along. You're not always going to agree. You're probably going to get on each other's nerves from time to time. But you got to love each other as much as I love you. That's how the world's going to know. That's how the world's going to know that Jesus is in this church. And that what we speak is the truth by our love for one another. And take it one last step further. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This was after his resurrection. He died on the cross. He resurrected. He now has all authority on heaven and on earth. They've been given to him. And so with that authority, he tells his apostles, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now you go out and make disciples, not of yourselves, but of me. They'll be able to follow me because I'm going to be dwelling in you. They're going to be able to follow you. And by doing that, they're going to follow me. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is an extremely important verse. We know that very well, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Church, I think oftentimes we get to that verse and we work to that end and we try to get people baptized and we stop right there. We get them in the water, they come up out of the water, and we think, our job is done. We did what we were asked to do. But we need to read a little bit further in the Great Commission, because Jesus does not stop there. He says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus has commissioned us with teaching Christians, teaching one another everything I have commanded you. We have to be able to teach one another. Sometimes we want to teach people that aren't Christians. We expect people who are outside of the kingdom to follow the rules inside the kingdom. And I'm not saying we don't speak and tell people how they should live or how Jesus wants us to live. But we need to surely be focusing on making sure those in the kingdom are living the way Jesus wants us to live. We need to be about teaching each other and teaching new Christians and holding old ones accountable to everything that Jesus taught. Not only the parts that are easy, only the parts we're comfortable with, but even the things like turning the other cheek, right, and how we give. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So the great teacher, our rabbi, Jesus Christ, has now commissioned us with being teachers as well. The apostles went out and they taught. And those that they taught others. And eventually that worked itself down to you and to I. And we have been taught. We are sitting here and we are living the way that we are living and choosing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus because someone has taught us. And we cannot make sure that we cannot let it in there. We must make sure that we teach someone else, those around us and the next generation. And Jesus says, and surely I'll be with you always to the very ends of the age. Jesus came and he taught. Because without teaching, there is no learning, right? Learn what Jesus has said. Learn in his words and his examples. They are extremely important. They are how we should live our lives. They're how we live in the kingdom of God. And if we don't know the teachings of Jesus, then we can't teach others the teachings of Jesus. So church, that's what we need to be about. We need to be learners, and we need to be teachers. If this church can do anything for you, if you want to learn more about Jesus Christ, if you want to learn more about the kingdom of God and how to live in the kingdom of God, we'd love to help you do that. We'd love to teach you. If you haven't been baptized, we can do that now. I'm pretty sure behind that screen we got some water. I'm not sure the temperature of it. All right. It's warm. All right, good. It is warm, I've heard. You could be baptized now. If you have not been following in the footsteps of Jesus and you want to recommit yourself to that, you can do that as well. The elders here, myself, we would love to pray with you and walk along with you and beside you. And we'd like for you to be a part of this church because we want to do amazing things. We want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. All right? And so those invitations are extended to you now as we stand and sing.